This is the West Concord Sermon Podcast. Thank you for joining us, and we hope you receive a blessing from today's message.
First of all, graduates, we're going to take a minute and consider life. Now, I want to congratulate you myself. You made it. You made it. Congratulations. It feels good, doesn't it? To make it. The truth is, though, you've only made it through the easy part. You're saying, wait a minute, the easy part? I had exams, I had papers, I had professors and teachers, and it was hard. Yeah, it was. But remember the horizons we were just talking about? There's a lot more coming. Different exams. Different professors, different things that you're going to learn. And it's going to be okay. It's going to be okay, especially if, as a believer in Christ, you and I get our priorities together. We just sang this wonderful song, one of my favorite songs the praise team does, about God's breath in our lungs. And that is actually literal truth. When God created Adam and Eve, he breathed into them life. And we are the grandchildren of Adam and Eve. Broken and beaten, but we still breathe the breath of God. We were animated by him. And in so doing, God has a purpose for us. So let's take a minute today and consider our lives. Take your Bibles and join me in the book of Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes, people struggle with Ecclesiastes. Because unless you read it in the right light, it seems like a downer. It's written by an old guy, because graduates, that's what you want today, is an old guy telling you stuff. Okay, like the old guy sitting here in the pulpit today telling you stuff. We're going to go to an old guy in the Bible so he can tell you more stuff, better stuff, good stuff. Solomon wrote this toward the end of his life. And we would do well to listen to him. Because Solomon, when he was young, just starting out as king of Israel, God basically asked him, Solomon, what would you like me to do for you? Name it. Wouldn't that be great? How would you like to have that, graduates, when you got down after getting your diploma and the Lord spoke to you and said, hey, whatever you need, name it. I doubt if you had a parent or grandparent tell you that. But can you imagine God? He said that to Solomon. And Solomon sat there and thought, wow, name it. And he asked for wisdom to teach the people. The old King James says to go in and out among the people. In other words, wisdom, how to live properly and lead properly as a godly king. Now understand, Solomon could have asked for anything he wanted. He could have asked for money. He could have asked for fame. He could have asked for beautiful woman and women. He could have asked for anything he wanted. But he asked for wisdom. That request in itself is a wise request. And you know what God did? God granted him the wisdom. But not only did God grant him the wisdom, he made him one of the wealthiest human beings that ever walked on the face of the earth. We have billionaires today. You think they've got everything. Solomon had them all beat. And Solomon was given the wisdom of God. The problem is, the thing about wisdom, like anything else, if you have it, it's only as good as the choices you make with it. Because life is a series of choices. What you will be, and we've said this many times, what you are now, you graduated, you did well, you made great choices, we are very proud of you. But coming from this place, your life is going to continue to be a series of choices. And what you are in 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, and out will still be based on your choices. And you know more now than you did 3-4 years ago. You got some knowledge, at least you're supposed to. That's what your parents who paid for it hope. But wisdom is not just knowledge. Wisdom is the application, the proper application of knowledge. And let me tell you, Solomon made some bad mistakes. As a matter of fact, Solomon didn't really end well when you read the Old Testament. He had much difficulty, and most of his difficulty was due to the poor choices he made, even though he had tremendous wisdom. He didn't utilize it. So this morning, we're going to look at Solomon, Ecclesiastes. Actually, we're going to look at chapter 11 is where we're going to pick it up. Chapter 11, we're going to pick it up around verse 9 of chapter 11, and we're going to move into chapter 12. And I just want to take a second, and I want you to consider for a minute your life, because that's what Solomon is doing with the book of Ecclesiastes. Solomon did everything that you can imagine wanting to do, by the way. Solomon had done the great experiment of life, and he had all the wealth and the wherewithal to do it. You name it, Solomon did it. Now, he didn't have the technology we have today, of course. But if you name it, he did it. And he came away from a lot of it feeling empty. He came away from a lot of it feeling lost, hollow. And in the end of the book of Ecclesiastes, he gives us his conclusion. But he gives a few parting words to those younger people who are perhaps graduating to the next phase of life in his day. And some of you senior adults are sitting out there thinking, oh, this is a graduate sermon. It's not for me. Oh, it's for you, too. Because you're graduating, Lord willing, into tomorrow. You've lived a life and you've gone through, what do we call it? The school of hard knocks, as it were. And tomorrow, if God grants it to you, you're going to take what you learned and apply it. So, yep, this one's for you too. And we're going to talk to younger people and we're going to talk to older people. So as we finish this morning, let's look at the delightful days. Let's consider the delightful days, because personally, graduates, that is what you're in right now. You're in the spring of youth. Man, you're done with school. Of course, Kyle is going back for everything. God bless you, brother. Okay. Let me tell you what, it's a lot of fun. Okay. And some of you are moving on to careers. Some of you are moving on to graduate degrees. And that, man, that's exciting. Do it. Do it. Some of you have marriage plans, career plans. You want to have kids. You want to travel. You want to do stuff, get stuff, be something. These are the delightful days when you have the youth and the energy to do it. Some call it the gusto of youthful living. The excitement, man, of getting out there in the world, and no longer are you under the parents necessarily, or you are under the teachers. Now you're getting out in life. And yes, it's going to be tough. Don't be fooled. But it's also going to be exciting. The gusto. Look what Solomon says here. He says in chapter 11 and verse 9, he says, "Rejoice, O young man," or young woman, "in your youth. Rejoice in your youth and let your heart cheer you in the days of your youth." In other words, live with gusto in these years. He says, walk in the ways of your heart and in the sight of your eyes. Just have a fit. Man, can you believe God saying that through Solomon to you and I? Mainly to you. Go do it. Go live life. Go enjoy it. Do the things. Have the fun. But, oh, I knew it was there somewhere. The gusto of human life needs to be guided and tempered by who should be your guide in your youthful life. He says in the end of verse 9, "But know that for all of these things, God will bring you unto judgment." Now, understand when he says that, he's not trying to be Donnie Downer, okay? Go out and have fun, then God's going to pull the rug out from you. That's not what he's saying. He's basically saying, go out and enjoy your youth. Go out and do the things that you've planned. Just make sure you are living under the care and guidance and moral instructions of God. Because quite frankly, when you do that, you will miss many of the pitfalls of life. You'll avoid many of the mistakes in life. I'm not saying your life is going to be perfect, because here's a clue, it's not. But when you're out living your life with the gusto of a youthful person, with the enjoyment, yes, there needs to be guardrails. You need to have certain boundaries. Because if not, you'll endure things that are difficult that you may not necessarily have to endure. Again, it comes down to your choice. And yes, ultimately, God's going to bring us all into judgment for how we lived our lives and what we chose. So he says in verse 10, therefore, remove sorrow from your heart and put away evil from your flesh. He said, look, this isn't meant to bring you down. This is meant to let you know that God is watching. God can be guiding if you'll yield to his guidance. I mean, I can talk about my life. Some of the adults in here, many of the adults in here can talk about their lives and the dumb decisions we made and how we suffered for them. You know, we talked in Sunday school this morning about the nation of Israel wanting to be like everybody else and have a king. And Samuel sat down and God instructed him to tell him exactly what it would be like to have a king, and it didn't look good. And they said, oh, but we want to do it anyway. And you know what God said? Go ahead. See, that's an amazing thing about God. God's not going to force himself into your life. He's not going to push himself upon you. He wants you to have a successful, good life in his viewpoint. He wants you to be strong and healthy. He wants you to enjoy the things that he's provided. Sometimes it's a struggle to do that because the world has fallen and broken. We understand that. People get sick, people hurt, things happen. But overall, God wants to lead you through with less difficulty as is possible. And so, yes, go out and do those things. Don't wait. If you have a desire, if you have something you want to accomplish, go do it. Go do it. If you want to go somewhere, be something, go do everything you can to go there and be that. But understand that when you have God guiding in your life, you will avoid much of the pitfalls. He said, put away evil from your flesh. Remove sorrow from your heart. Stop worrying. Just trust God and live. For childhood and youth are vanity. It literally means they're fleeting. It goes quickly. One minute you're 18, graduated from high school. The next minute you're 22, 23, 24, near 30, graduated from college. Before you know it, maybe you're married or in your career. You're having kids. And all of a sudden there are medical issues. And all of a sudden you're having grandkids. And the next thing you know, you're the old guy or the old girl telling people what to do. Comes quickly. Goes by fast. So make the most of it now. And by the way, you senior adults are going, yeah, tell them. Bless God, you need to make the most of what you've got now. Too many senior adults sit around on their backside, on their blessed assurance, waiting for people to do for them. Get up and go. These are delightful days because, yes, the difficult days are coming. He goes on to say in verse 12, remember now your Creator. Chapter 12, verse 1. Remember now your Creator in the days of your youth. In other words, get things right with God now as you move through your life, because otherwise later you will regret it. There are a lot of mistakes I could have avoided had I just gone to God first with them. The choices I made that caused problems that should never have been made. Remember your Creator in the days of your youth. These are the delightful days. Why? Because listen, difficult days are coming. That's what he says. Before the difficult days, verse 1. And the years draw near when you say, I have no pleasure in them. In other words, when you get older, Now, I'm going to see a lot of gray heads and heads with no hair bobbing at me in a minute. He's going to describe what it's like to be older. We're not going to dwell on this too much. But he's going to give a very poetic description of what it is to get older when these wonderful youthful days go by quickly. Verse 2. While the sun and the light, the moon and the stars are not darkened, and the clouds do not return after their rain. In other words, when we stop dreaming, stop looking, stop perceiving, those difficult days, remember the approach of the ebb of life. Life begins, that energy, that gusto begins to gust away a little bit. Verse 3, in the day when the keepers of the house tremble, speaking of the arms and the hands, and the strong men bow down, those are the legs that carry us, poetically speaking. The grinders cease because they are few. Those are teeth. When I preach this portion to the senior adults, I always title it, How to Keep Smiling Though Your Teeth Are in a Glass. They do get gone after a while. But we live in a day and age where they can put more in, so that's cool. He goes on to say, and those that look through the windows grow dim. In other words, our eyesight begins to give out on us. When the doors are shut in the streets and the sound of the grinding is low, when one rises up, and he's talking about losing our hearing. When one rises up at the sound of a bird and all the daughters of music are brought low. In other words, there's anxiety, there's loss of hearing, loss of sight, just all kinds of physical junk happens. Let's take up an offering and go home. What Solomon is trying to tell us is while we can, to pour ourselves into those desires, into those dreams, into those efforts, before we can't do it anymore. In other words, don't be satisfied. If I heard wonderful plans up here on this stage this morning. So very excited for all of you graduates. You've got your heads on. You're getting ready to do some great things. Go do it. And don't let anybody or anything tell you you can't. Because between you and God, if God wills it, you can do it. We were told many years ago that we can't build this building and move out to this property. You know what I love to tell people? I told you so. God told us so. He goes on to say, also verse 5, they're afraid of height and terrors in the way. You know, when I was your age back in the day, I used to want to skydive. I wanted so badly to skydive, and my wife wouldn't let me. She said, I don't want to be a widow. But I really wanted to, and I almost did it one day. But then I thought, I don't want to get her mad at me. But you know what? Now if somebody said, Mike, you want to go skydiving? No, why would I jump out of a perfectly good plane? I mean, you know, we get a little more nervous when we get older. The terror's on the way. When almond tree blossoms, you know what that's talking about? White hair. The grasshopper is a burden. In other words, light things are heavy. The desire fails. For man goes to his eternal home, and the mountains go around the streets. In other words, life gets difficult. The ebb, life begins to ebb. And here's the reality. You are young now. You're going to get older. Matter of fact, tomorrow you're going to be older than you are today. It's coming. What I'm trying to tell you and what Solomon is trying to tell you is what you're going to accomplish. Go do it. Go get it done. Don't let anything get in your way. And take it to God and seek His face. Live according to His rules. Live according to His laws. Live according to His guidance. And here's the reality, you will be more contented and at peace because you will avoid much, not all, but much of the stupid pitfalls in life. The coming of the ebb of life. These are difficult days. And also know this, that none of us are guaranteed a tomorrow. The difficult days, one of the things that makes days difficult is to remember the approach of the end of life. And here's the reality of that. All the time that you and I have actually is right now. Yesterday is gone. All the comfort and security. You're going to find out one day, you're going to say, I want to be there when you say it. I wish I were back in school. Because in school, everybody's rooting for you. Everybody's on the page, man, you're doing great. But when you get out in the world, it's going to be a little different. And you're going to think, man, school wasn't too bad. But all you have, that's gone. All you have is right now. And there, you have great plans and desires for the future, but none of us in this room have a guarantee that we'll even have a tomorrow. That's why we have to commit it to God to bring us through it, to provide it. So we need to remember the approach of the end of life. He goes on to say this, remember your Creator before the silver cord is loosened. He just did a poetic description of what it's like to grow older. Now he's giving a poetic description of life concerning death. Before the silver cord is loosed, or the golden bowl is broken, or the pitcher is shattered at the fountain, or the wheel is broken at the well. Then the dust will return to the earth as it was. Because here's the reality. We talk about the breath in our lungs. The bodies that we live in are simply moist mud bodies. They are made out of dust. God created humanity out of the dust of the ground. If you were to take all your water out, you'd be like $795 worth of minerals. Then the dust will return to the earth as it was, and the spirit will return to God who gave it. So make the most now, and you can do it. And he says again in verse 8, vanity of vanities, says the preacher. That was one of Solomon's nicknames. All is vanity. In other words, life in this world is fleeting. James says in the New Testament that life is like a vapor. It appears for just a moment and vanishes away. Now again, this isn't two old guys, me and Solomon, telling you some things today. And you're probably thinking, yeah, whatever. You can do that. But the reality is, that reality is life is like a vapor. Take advantage of what God has given you now. You're in the delightful days. Live with the gusto, but make sure you also live with God's guidance, because the difficult days will come quickly. The ebb of life, and then finally the end of life. So what does that do for us today? Well, today is a decision day for you. For you graduates, today, right now, is decision day. And not for just the graduates either. For everyone in this room and everyone online and everyone listening on the podcast, today, right now, is a day of decision. Based on the delightful days, the difficult days, all of that will work out based upon the decision you make today. You made decisions that got you this far. Some of them good, some of them not so good. You might be dealing with the consequences of the bad decisions or the blessings of the good decisions. But here's the reality. What tomorrow will be, what next week, next month, next year, next 10 years will be, again, at the end of the day, based upon your decisions. And not just your decisions, but how you respond and react to the decisions of those around you. If something happens, health issue, money issue, car accident, God forbid, you name the crisis, there's even decisions involved in that, how you respond or react to those things. So as we finish this morning, let's look at what Solomon ends with. We see his commission. It says in verse 9 of chapter 12, and moreover, because the preacher, that's what Solomon was calling himself at this time, because the preacher was wise, remember, he got his wisdom from God. He got a boatload, a gargantuan truckload of wisdom. He still taught the people knowledge. Yes, he pondered and sought out and set in order many proverbs. You can go through the book of Proverbs, and many of his God-inspired proverbs are there. He says, the preacher sought to find acceptable words, and what was with and what was written was upright. Words of truth. Why? Because God inspired him to write. The words of the wise are like goads. In other words, they keep poking at you. You know, your parents were there, your professors, your teachers, when you wanted to do one thing and they gave some words of wisdom. You just found $50. Oh, I can't wait to spend it. You better put 40 of it in the bank. That's wisdom, but that's a goad. It hurts. But they're trying to point you in the right direction. He said, the words of wisdom are like goads and the words of scholars like well-driven nails. Yeah, you get that, don't you? And all of you went to college and you're coming out of high school. You had those professors that nailed you every chance they could get. Driving things home, hammering on you, because they wanted to educate you and make you smarter and better. He goes on to say, given by one shepherd, at the end of the day, truth, Kyle mentioned seeking truth. Truth belongs to God. Truth is truth. What is truth? Truth is that which is in agreement with reality and that which is in agreement with itself. It's not hard. And further, my son, be admonished by these. Of making many books, there is no end, and we have bookstores full. And much study is wearisome to the flesh. Can I get an amen from the graduates? I understand. I was there just a few years ago. There is one book, though, that contains and is the truth of God, the Bible. It is God's word from cover to cover, and I cannot encourage you more to lean on, be guided by that book above all others. So his commission, because God gave him this wisdom, he felt like it was his commission to teach and to share. You've been given a gift of wisdom and knowledge. Question is, what are you going to do with it? Well, here's Solomon's conclusion as we finish. And you would do well to heed these words, because I need to heed them. And I'm also speaking to those with gray hair and no hair. I'm speaking to those older adults, middle-aged, senior adults. This applies to you and I as well. Solomon says in verse 13, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. What's the bottom line? Graduates? Families? It's not hard. Fear God, respect God. It's not be afraid of God. It means fear him and respect him reverentially. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is man's or humanity's all. Fear God and keep his commandments. Because here's the thing, verse 14, for God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or evil. That's a guarantee you can count on. It's not much in life you can count on. But one day all of us will stand before God and give an account. So I want to say to the graduates, we are very proud of you. We are. I've watched a few of you grow up. And you've done very well. Your parents have done very well. And you're going to go out now and you're going to make your decisions. You're going to make your way. And again, I believe these are the great, delightful days for you. Go do it. Don't let anybody hold you back. Don't let anybody tell you you can't. You try until you fall on your face. But you do it because you can. But at the same time, and this is not to hinder you, but this is to help. Walk with God through it, because you will avoid many of the pitfalls that others in here, including myself, fell into when we did not. And this is not just for the graduates, because you and I graduate this afternoon. If God gives us a tomorrow, we wake up and have a new life. What are you going to do with it, mom and dad, uncle and aunt, grandma and grandpa? I know you're sitting there going, tell those graduates, Mike. Well, I'm telling you and me that we need to heed the same message. So graduates, always remember as we finish this morning, don't ever forget, because this is truth. God is on your side. He loves you and wants you to do well with the gifts he's given you. And here at West Concord, we love you and are on your side as well. Let's stand together as we close. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Just a moment with God. Graduates, it's your life. Whatever trouble you've already had, whatever, you know, you deal with it, move on. But life is, under the sun, a series of choices. And you will be what you choose to be. Yeah, there's going to be failure sometimes. There's going to be pitfalls and obstacles. We live in a broken world. There are going to be people that give you a hard time, give you trouble, get in your way, rip you off, try to steal. There are going to be people around you, but your decisions are what count. Even in adversity, how you choose to respond or react to that. The best decision you can make, and today is decision day, is surrender your life once and for all to Christ. I believe all of you know Christ as Savior. I would encourage you as you walk out of this door with your cap and gown on, as you walk out of school with your cap and gown on, you walk with Christ. That's the biggest and best decision you can make. Today is decision day because, yeah, you're in the delightful days, but difficult days are coming. They'll be less difficult as you walk with Christ. And that's not just for the graduates. That's for you, mom and dad, grandmother and grandfather, aunts and uncles. It's on you as to what your life is going to be. And you face the exact same decisions that these graduates do. You're just further down the road. First of all, have you decided to trust Christ as your Savior? That's the greatest decision anybody can ever make. I'm not asking you to be religious and commit to religion or make promises you can't keep. No, no, none of that stuff will do any good. The decision is, do you know Jesus? Have you trusted him and only him as your Savior? Abandoning self-effort, abandoning religion, abandoning your own moral code, and trusting Christ as your Savior. Would you do that if you've never done it? And if you don't, I mean, if you do know Christ, will you walk with him? That's the biggest decision for the believer. Will you trust in him? Because your life coming out from here is also based on what choices you will make. Let's make the right one today. Father, we are grateful for the privilege of being in this place today. Thank you for the beautiful music we heard, the encouragements from our associate pastor. Thank you for his hard work and his team's hard work with our youth. Father, I know Aaron's heart, and I know, Father, his spirit. He and Jenna and his team have poured into these students because they desperately love them. And I praise the Lord for a couple like the Thomases and a team like they have doing that. And Father, I pray that these young people who have graduated, that they've taken to heart those things that were taught to them by Aaron and Sunday school teachers who've poured into them, this preacher who's tried to. And I pray that you'll take them, Lord, and turn the world upside down for Christ through them. No matter what career they choose, direction they choose, I pray that they always will walk with you, giving honor to you. And I pray that you'll bless them and strengthen them and help them. I pray for their parents, grandparents, and families, those who are gathered here watching, listening. Father, help us to also make right decisions. Instead of having high expectations of these graduates, may we also have high expectations of ourselves and help us to seek to model what that walk with Christ looks like. May we all give you the glory. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name and all of God's people say.
For additional sermon resources and to find out who we are, visit us online at westconcordchurch.com. Thanks for listening.